freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo as long as we are led by politicians who will not put America first. Then we can be assured that other nations will not treat America with respect, the respect that we deserve.
And GOP Josh is a young conservative influencer with a lot of power.
You're listening to the voice of the future, fighting for America every day. This is the Conservative Crusader. And here's your host, GOP Josh.
But baby, it's cold outside. But baby, it's cold outside. Been hoping that you drop in. I'll hold your hands, they're just like ice.
Well, good evening, America. Beautiful. Welcome in. This is the Conservative Crusader. GOPJosh.com is our website. Appreciate you all joining in. And at the current freezing 32 degrees in our capital city of Ohio, Columbus, Ohio is relating to this song a lot. It is our first taste of winter all across the central Ohio region of the state. We are under a winter weather advisory. So if you are in this area of the state, we're obviously not a first line of news for weather, but we encourage you to stay safe, stay healthy, of course, all that fun stuff. And so we're kind of relating to that song today, but we're not going to talk about music per se. But today is the big pre-Christmas program. We are just a week away, so I guess we have to talk about the planned schedule for the Christmas season for those reliable listeners. This Wednesday, we do plan on having a full program. I do have a prior obligation right before the program, but hopefully we'll be able to get that in and getting into the into the program. If not, follow me on X. We'll get you involved with that. The 22nd, we are doing a program, a full show, full jam-packed program, your actual pre-Christmas program. We will obviously not be having a program. I think it's pretty obvious on the 25th, Christmas Day. 27th, we will probably be having a program along with the 29th. January 1st, we might have a program. Haven't decided yet what's going to go on that day. So we might have a program. Don't bet on it. And then we're back on the 3rd. Full swing ahead on the 3rd, getting ready for this huge election year. So that's our schedule for the Christmas season. If you don't catch a program we're doing, you want to go back and listen to the podcast, you can do that. GOPJosh.com is the podcast website, or just search GOP Josh wherever you get your podcasts. And then you can listen to any of our previous interviews over on the same website. Just put /interviews after it, GOPJosh.com/interviews. So let's talk today. The first story I kind of want to get to is something I got to see over this summer. I talk a lot about traveling and going to Washington, D.C. over the summer. Well, there is an Arlington Confederate Memorial, if you want to describe it as that, that was kind of a paid homage to those who fought in the Civil War. And I'm not defending the South or anything. These people have, this was from the 1860s. We're not going to defend or attack these people who fought for what they thought was right. There is a memorial in Arlington National Cemetery that remembers and honors these soldiers who probably also fought in the Union Army prior to the Civil War. So the original morning report from the National Pulse, which is a great news site ran by Raheem Kassam, a great Trump conservative patriot. I encourage you all to read that, thenationalpulse.com, not sponsored. The iconic Confederate Memorial in Arlington is set to be removed this week, a cemetery official announced Saturday. Moves to desecrate the site, first intended as a peace monument, which also serves as the grave site for its designer, America's first globally renowned Jewish artist, Moses Ezekiel, began today. The decision to trash the stunning monument was made over a year ago as part of efforts to erase Confederate iconography from America. Objections raised by over 40 Republican congressmen eventually went unheeded, with a total sum of over $62 million allocated for the removal of a number of Confederate and otherwise, quote, problematic statues. The monument, first unveiled in 1914, with Ezekiel explaining the time, quote, the intention is that it is a peace monument, without forgetting the sacrifices and the heroism of the South and emphasizing the fact that they were fighting for a constitutional right and not to uphold slavery. I have attempted to have dominant idea over the future and not the past to show that the intention of the South is to rest the future of her industry and her agriculture and let the past go, but not be forgotten. Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin says he plans to relocate the statue to the new Market Battlefield State Historical Park in the Shenandoah Valley. So there's a video here where they start trying to, they have a big bucket truck. You can kind of hear it. Up to the top of the statue, and they just take this bucket truck up, trying to do whatever they can, just kind of surveying the site, I imagine. Reporting now comes out that it has been halted. A federal judge issued a temporary restraining order barring removal of the memorial, as originally reported below. A group called Defend Arlington filed a lawsuit on Sunday, according to the Associated Press, which led to the restraining order. A hearing on the matter is now scheduled for Wednesday. Our original report, unedited, appears below, obviously. They are fundraising for the legal cost to fight the removal of the memorial. So for those who want to say this Confederate statue is racist, this Confederate statue is this and that, the judge that halted it, a Trump-appointed judge, I don't have his name off the bat, but I do know that he is an African-American. He himself is not a white American. So why are we attacking this as racist or whatnot? You can say whatever you want about the Confederate soldiers, whether you think they were racist, whether you think they were fighting for something good or not. They were fighting for a constitutional right. Fun fact, that's not something you can disprove. But they definitely should allow that memorial to stand. Not only because it's a Confederate memorial, but we've seen the attack on Jewish Americans across this country over the most recent area of the most recent portion of the news sector between Israel and whatnot. And it was one of the first major globally renowned Jewish artists from America created this, and it serves as his grave marker in Arlington National Cemetery. So why are we always on an attack against everything? Why can we never allow tradition to stand? First, we saw the Columbus, Ohio, Christopher Columbus statue desecrated and destroyed. Who knows where it's at? We saw Robert E. Lee statues destroyed, melted into different little things, whatever they melt statues into. That's a creepy video, by the way, watching the statue melt because they melt his face away. And those that really know the history don't have a problem with it because they know it's not racist. It's fighting over a constitutional right. Whether you believe it should have been or not, they believed it should have been. And the right for states to make things that aren't regulated by the federal government is still in our Constitution to this day, even after this war was fought. So we should not be desecrating the memorial of these people, not destroying Arlington National Cemetery. I know they told me on my tour they had like 15 or 20 different funerals a day. Why would you even just consider wasting the time to take this down during a funeral and ruining the emotion and everything else going on in this scenario? Because it's a very emotional place. And if you ever go looking at the lines, the mile-long lines of just headstones, it's just so heartbreaking. And if you're going to try to desecrate that over some stupid statue no one really cares about at the end of the day, and it doesn't really have a lot of impact to the the conversation for today. People aren't going to Arlington seeing the statue and become a white supremacist. That's not how this works, and no one really cares in the long run of things. So why are we bothering about it in the beginning? And if we lose this fight as a Republican Party, as a conservative movement, we're going to move on to the next fight we're going to lose. All we do is lose and move on. We need to stand our ground on this, one of which is a very unpopular topic. No one really cares or wants to talk about this. So let's take that to our advantage, make our news cycle about this, and stop this from happening. Not because we're allegiance to the Confederacy or we want a civil war or anything like that, but because they were fighting for a constitutional right and they have a right to be memorialized in the way they saw fit at the time. We should not try to erase history because those that forget it are doomed to repeat it. You all know that quote. We'll be right back after this on the Conservative Crusader with GOP Josh. GOPJosh.com. Back right after this.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.
Fiverr is the world's largest marketplace for digital services, offers both buyers and sellers a digitally streamlined transactional platform. If you need to buy something, sell something, or whatever you want to do on Fiverr, just go to bit.ly/GOPJoshFiverr today to get your gig or to put your gig on Fiverr and help support the program as well. That is bit.ly/GOPJoshFiverr, FIVERR.
Without you, I'll be so blue.
Welcome back, folks. This is the Conservative Crusader. Appreciate you all joining us. Couple quick public service announcements. First and foremost, a friend of mine, Alan Jacoby, who broke the big, major, bigly story regarding the whole situation with Craig Riedel up in Northwest Ohio, where he came out hating Trump, all that fun stuff. He has been banned over on X. So go to Alan Jacoby, J-A-C-O-B-Y, J-R, Jr., over on X. That's his new profile. He's trying to grow a following back up. At least second time he's been banned. Alan Jacoby, J-R, support him, follow him, and boost him back up. Also, the Leadership Institute is hosting a grassroots campaign workshop in Greene County, Ohio, January 6, 2024, from 9 to 5 at the Xenia Adult Recreation and Service Center, but you have to be registered and pay your $20 dues to attend. It'll be leadershipinstitute.org/Greene County, Ohio, G-R-E-E-N-E, County O-H, leadershipinstitute.org/Greene County, Ohio, hosted by Satise Kelly. So you can go check that out, get some high-quality training, learn how to develop a fundraising plan, know what the roles of various political organizations are, set expectations, build coalitions, understand the fundamentals of grassroots campaigning, and organize at municipal and state levels. It's incredibly important that we have that and that sort of organization on the right. So I'm very pleased it's happening in Ohio. I'm a big fan of the Leadership Institute. I encourage you all to go check that out. It is leadershipinstitute.org/Greene County, Ohio, O-H, G-R-E-E-N-E. County OH. An elected Democrat was fined for committing voter fraud. Who would have known it, folks, that Democrats commit voter fraud? Not sure if there's been a radio show talking about this since 2020. I believe it's this one. An elected Democrat official fined for voting twice in the 2020 election. By the way, this is a Democrat. Listen to how stupid this logic is, and it explains why the Democrat Party is just so goofy. An elected Democratic official in Washington, D.C. has been fined by the District of Columbia Board of Elections for voting twice in 2020. Vanessa Rubio, an advisory neighborhood commissioner in D.C., voted in the District of Columbia and Maryland during the 2020 presidential election. According to NBC4 Washington reporter Mark C. Graves, she reportedly told the Board of Elections that since D.C. is not a state, she believed voting twice would be acceptable. She voted in person on November 1st and then in D.C. on November 3rd, according to a photograph of the memorandum opinion and post ordered by Mark C. Graves of NBC4, not of the NBC4 in Columbus, but the NBC4 in Washington, which that would be a weird place to host a local show at, by the way. From Washington. So first of all, we have an elected, whatever an advisory council, a neighborhood commissioner, whatever that is, an advisory neighborhood commissioner, whatever that is. She's elected. I would guess, if I had to guess, it would be like a HOA or a governing body of a party. I don't think it actually has a legislative impact in D.C. I'm going to be honest. I didn't care enough to look it up. But we have here someone who is an elected office holder, has gone through the process of being elected, filing paperwork, not knowing basic law of how to vote in the United States of America. And so if we just have one extra vote for Joe Biden, whatever, one person, but this group said that multiple people were fined the same fine of like $100, five other people, right? So that's six other extra votes, whatever. But when you consider that on top of everything else that we've seen go down in the 2020 election, between silencing the Hunter Biden laptop, between stuffing the ballot boxes as we saw in 2000 Mules, between the voter machines probably changing ballots, I would honestly not be surprised if in 10 years down the line, all this keeps adding up and we reject the 2020 election entirely. And then what are we going to do from there? I don't know if there's actually precedent for that, for completely throwing out an election. But I believe after President Trump wins again in 2024, it's going to be severely looked at, and then it's going to be eventually taken down. And probably everything that's happened in the last 4 years being taken out off of the actual processes. I don't know how that works, but it definitely should be done because Biden did not win legitimately. I mean, how are you a politician? You've gone through the process of filling out paperwork, probably gathering signatures, probably doing this or that, got your name on a ballot, filled in the bubble next to your name, and you still manage to vote twice, claiming you don't know how it works. How do you not know that basic fact? D.C. might not be a state, but you do have electoral vote representation. But also, if you have the choice, why would you vote in D.C.? Maryland is a much more significant vote between the fact they've had a Republican governor forever and also the fact that you're a Democrat. You wouldn't want that. And you also have electoral college votes that actually matter in the grand scheme of things. Not sure why you choose to vote in D.C., but I digress. If I vote in Ohio and then vote in that state up north, I'm going to be probably thrown in jail for it because I know better. But knowing as a Democrat, probably, you know, there's like that loophole in the law where, you know, you're not actually competent enough to understand what you're doing. So I guess that's probably what they did for this Democrat. Didn't throw him in jail because of it. But don't vote twice. Don't vote multiple times. Don't be a bad boy. Vote only how you should and only vote when you should. So before we move on, I want to talk a little bit about the Youth Advisory Council. We've been following it. It's the RNC's Romney McDaniel's pet project of trying to get youth engaged, or so they claim. It is chaired by Brylan Hollihan and C.J. Pearson, two Republican media figures from Alabama. We reported last week on the program how members of the RNC's Youth Advisory Council have left. The actual elected office holders on the council have left. And so Brylan put out a video here. I haven't watched the video yet. It's like 4 minutes long. I'm going to read the caption because I've heard everything he says in the video is pretty irrelevant. But here's what he said. I wanted to take a second to reflect on the historic accomplishments of the Youth Advisory Council in its first 12 months of existence and thank all of y'all for your continued support. In January, I said it was past time for the Republican Party to give a generation of first-time voters a seat at the table. In the past 12 months, we've accomplished that together, and I'm looking forward to expanding the table. I'm spending the week off to meet directly with fellow young conservative and grassroots leaders to work together to beat Biden in 323 days and make their ideas big ideas a reality. First of all, you're not taking the week off school for this. You're on break because it's Christmas time. Together, we're bringing change to a party that's famously been stuck in the past. Together, we're going to win the White House, Senate, and House next November. Now, I have asked Brylan to come on the program multiple times. He said, yeah, let's do it, and then never schedules it. So my friend Nico Delgado, the co-chair of the Youth Action Council, which we'll be getting to very soon, just put in quotes, historic accomplishments, right? Because he's mocking him. So here's the list of historic accomplishments. We're going to have to split this across two segments. By the Youth Advisory Council. Since January, bank your vote, launched in California, Florida, Nevada, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, along with community-specific launches in Spanish, Tagalog, and Hindi, and more to come in 2024. First things first, what does launching a Spanish Bank Your Vote have to do with the youth? Absolutely nothing. Young people are more than capable of going, standing in line, voting on election day. Bank Your Vote was marketed to the public through the establishment media, like the Hugh Hewitt show, as being for boomers to be able to bank their vote, make sure their vote is counted. In that regard, if it's actually used for that, it's not a terrible solution. But it's not used for that, right? It's not used for anything. It's very ineffective. It's just a way to data mine for the RNC to put in your email, put in your phone number, hey, say you'll vote, and then that's it. Recruited nearly 40 influencers to help promote GOP messaging. Now, believe it or not, now take this with a grain of salt. They actually reached out to me, and I'm going to release the phone, the text messages probably here on the program. I'm going to decide during the next break if we're going to release them or not, because we are coming up on a hard break. But I have the text here from one of the co-chairs, CJ Pearson, who by the way, I'm going to be honest, both of these gentlemen have been very nice to me when I've interacted with them. Very little I've interacted with them, but it's been very nice to see that. And they have been very civil. And I'm not trying to attack them directly. They are just the faces of a broken system. And when you're standing by a broken system, you're going to be caught in the crossfire. So recruited nearly 40 influencers to help promote GOP messaging. 15 influencers have attended our 4 debates. Many attended more than one debate. Influencers' GOP content have garnered 1.5 million views across TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. We're going to be right back after the break. We're going to talk about those 3 points plus the more after this. Also, a Fox News poll shows Trump's lead is even larger in the GOP primary. No one cares about Ron DeSantis anymore. And Jen Psaki, who, remember her? She's the circle back lady. Suggests Biden, Hunter Biden, should disappear. We'll talk about that after this here on the Conservative Crusader. You're listening to the Voice of the Future.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.
Welcome back. This is the Conservative Crusader, GOPJosh.com. If you're enjoying the program, enjoying what we do over here, make sure you support us on Patreon, patreon.com/GOPJosh, patreon.com/GOPJosh. We are the voice of the future, the youngest hour of talk radio in the nation, and we're going to talk about the RNC next, and the Youth Advisory Council. So I did a poll during the Twitter spaces. You can join listening to the program through that. Around 6 p.m.-ish. On nights we do the show, we have the live stream going on Spaces, and we have a very large audience tonight. We have one person hanging out, but appreciate you, Hava, as always. But it doesn't really matter because we are doing the program. A poll, 100% of the audience voted to put out these messages. So we're going to talk about them. CJ Pearson DM'd me in May out of nowhere. Hey, I'm not going to read every single word for word. I'm just going to pretty much synonymize it. We love your work. I'm working with the RNC to help build an army of young influencers to counter the DNC. Think you'd be a great fit. Okay, I'm like, cool. I'd love more information. He sends me this little bit of an information here where he pretty much says, trying to bridge the gap between the GOP, the party, and the base. Party would promote the work you do, invite you to events. Build a counter operation to Harry Sisson. This was May 26th. I asked for more information, heard nothing back. Whatever. Not really that big of a deal. The RNC is not a big deal to me because they're not doing anything important. June 20th, I get an invite to the debate, to the August GOP debate. If I have 25,000 followers, which many of you know, I don't quite have that yet, working on it, you have to post a Bank Your Vote link 3 times. I don't have a Bank Your Vote link. I wasn't asked ever to promote Bank Your Vote, and so I obviously don't qualify for this in any way. If you want to participate in debate activities, be in the top 75% in Bank Your Vote signups to attend program. So if you saw a lot of young people putting out the Bank Your Vote links during like the June, July months, you're like, what are they doing? That's why. to attend programming with Republican leadership, be in the top 25% of Bank Your Vote signups to attend programming with Republican leadership and earn access to the spin room following the debate where all the media is. Be in the top 10% in Bank Your Vote signups to attend programming with Republican leadership, earn access to the spin room, attend a meet and greet with a presidential candidate, I don't know who that was, and have your lodging and travel to Milwaukee covered by the RNC. When you're at the debate, minimum of 2 TikToks of content originating from the event, tagging the GOP, promote Rumble Stream at least once on the day of the debate before it begins, and the way they did that was through a WinRed link, by the way. So you had to go to a WinRed where they ask you for money, and then you can watch the debate. So you want to do man-on-the-street interviews, tagging the GOP and RNC research, and do behind-the-scenes showing where the stage is, which you probably saw these young people doing. Not really a big deal, whatever. So back to the, and I told him, I said, I don't really have the followers. I appreciate the information. Are there any other Bank Your Vote opportunities? Because at this time, I honestly thought it was a decent program. Nothing else from him at all. Not a word. So that's kind of the influencer portion where I was asked to be part of that. Obviously, must not have been big enough for them, but I didn't obviously participate in anything they were doing. Through that, I have not been paid by the RNC. I'm not promoted by the RNC in any way, shape, or form. So the next thing, influencers' GOP content have garnered 1.5 million views across TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. Across 3 platforms since January, or probably May when they were doing this program launch, RNC influencers have only reached 1.5 million views. Now we're going to pull this up here. Analytics.x.com, my Twitter analytics page for my personal X account, only on X, not counting the podcast streams, not counting Instagram, not counting Facebook, not counting TikTok, not counting any of those. I have received in the last 28 days, so since last month, 1.42 million impressions, about 1.5 million impressions. In 1 month, one person, myself, not paid by the RNC, not paid by big donors, not backed by anyone, has received more impressions and more impact on social media than the entire 40-man GOP debate. Or GOP influencer army. Rumble partnership to stream the debates to reach youth voters. Fun fact, even if it's streamed on Rumble, no one cares about CNN or Fox News hosts doing the debate. If you want to give Gen Z a seat at the table, advocate for a Gen Z moderated debate. Put Brylan on the panel. Put myself on the panel. Put CJ Pearson on the panel. Put young people actually interested in the future of this country asking the question to the voters that or to the candidates that they want to know. Don't just stream it out there and show it to them because they don't care about that. The first debate included YAF, Young Americans for Freedom, students from across the country in the audience. Young Americans for Freedom is the most neocon, the most pro-war Young Americans group in the nation. You have Young Americans for Liberty, you have Turning Point USA, and you choose Young Americans for Freedom because they prop up the same GOP that's lost us over the last 20 years. The same GOP that's lost in 2018, lost in 2020, lost in 2022, lost in 2023. They prop up and hold those same values, which is why they go straight to Young Americans for Freedom. Young Americans for Liberty would have been a much, much better group to do that with. TPUSA, the Leadership Institute, any of those groups would have been a better group to do that with. And the last point here, and then we're going to kind of wrap up this area of the show. We have Ava coming up on stage. Let me get to this last point, and then we'll get your thoughts in. The fourth debate on the campus of the University of Alabama with over 7,000 requests for tickets by students. So listen to this. Listen to this, guys. They had a Republican state where they held a debate where they had 7,000 people trying to go. That is so impressive. Let's give them a round of applause for that. They had 7,000 people wanting to watch Vivek Ramaswamy and Nikki Haley. What an accomplishment. Not in a swing state, not in a D-leaning state, in a hardcore Republican state. And we're supposed to be impressed. These are the accomplishments they're championing, and I'm tired of it. Hava, what do you got to say?
All right. So I have not followed this whole youth advisory thing like you have. So correct me if I'm wrong, but my mind is just blown that this is how they go about it. Like, if you really want something to spread, the best way to do it is to get people excited about it. So they organically talk about it and want to share it. And the best way to kill that is to like put that in confines and give directions. Like, you got to do this. You got to do this. Like, I can't even believe that this is how they're going about it. Am I wrong?
And there's only like three members of the council that are public about it. It's CJ Pearson, it's Brylan Hollihan, it's Weston Eimer, who is from Colorado. He's an anti-Brylan guy. But I honestly believe he's only on the committee because his mom has ran for office like six times in Colorado and she's lost every time. And they're kind of close with the Colorado GOP. So nothing against Weston. But he's also kind of in that political class in some ways. Brylan is a big family donor kid. I don't know about CJ's family, but I know he's been propped up by Fox News a lot. And so Brylan, if you just search the name Hollihan on FEC.gov, I'm not going to tell you any big numbers, but October you'll see an interesting thing that went through there to the RNC. Not going to name names, not going to say anything, but it's not organic. It's not meant to be organic. But I'm not really a fan of the way they go about this, actually disenfranchising young people when they start advocating for bank your vote.
But that's kind of my point. And I do want to say, I have not, it's been a number of years. I remember CJ when he was just very, very young and getting a start, and I liked him, but I don't know.
Was that when he endorsed Bernie Sanders or not?
No.
Because he endorsed Bernie Sanders. Don't forget about that.
I did forget about it. I just know that he was with some of my friends and he seemed like a good kid for a period there. But that's about all I know about it. But here's the thing, like that's kind of my point. Like, why aren't they doing it organically? Like, I think that's how you should actually work with Gen Z, because they are a little bit, they have a little rebel streak in them. And so if you start like telling them like it has to look like this, this, and this, I just think that is not going to appeal to them.
I completely agree as a member of Gen Z. And Nico Delgado, one of my friends, had a rally at AmFest talking about this, where they're like, we don't care if we want to sit at the table anymore. We're going to take the whole table because we're tired of the jokers, the donor kids, the big money people actually having impact in this. The RNC doesn't want us to have a seat at the table. We're going to take the table anyway. We're just going to take the table. Just pick it up, take it out of the room, and take the table back on our battlegrounds, because we're tired of standing by this. And I'm tired of being a Gen Z conservative, being laughed at in the faces when we talk about, the Youth Advisory Council. No one cares about it. No one knows about it. And the only people that know about it are donors who think, oh, this is a good way to get the young people involved. Yeah, I'm going to give you $5,000 more. Or, thanks for putting my kid on it. Here's $5,000 more. You know, that kind of thing really makes me upset. Have a last word before we get a break.
Last thing is, the other thing I think about Gen Z is that they are looking for the authentic and genuine, and this is totally opposite that as well.
I completely agree. And had the RNC simply asked, I'm not saying I want to be on the panel. I'm not saying that's my end goal. I don't really care. It's a broken system anyway. But if they would have been, hey, what are your ideas? You know, you're a young influencer, a young conservative influencer with a lot of power, as one of our favorite presidents would say. What do you think about the state of the GOP, of the RNC, of the youth fight, and what can we do to take it on? If they showed any sort of interest whatsoever, we might be having a different conversation right now, but they haven't and they won't. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to the Conservative Crusader, GOPJosh.com, the youngest hour of talk radio in the nation.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.
Hey everyone, it's GOP Josh. We can only keep the Conservative Crusader podcast or program that you're listening to right now on the air with your support. We have recently launched a Patreon program where you can support us here at Red Feature Radio for as little as $3 a month. You can find that at patreon.com/GOP Josh. You can also support the program at anchor.fm/theconservativecrusader for as much or as little as you'd like to give. This program will remain free and financial support is not required or expected. But anything to keep us on the air helps. Thank you, folks. And now, back to the Conservative Crusader.
I'm dreaming.
Christmas. Welcome back to the Conservative Crusader. Like kind of cooled down from the whole fiasco of the Youth Advisory Council. So let's talk about this Fox News poll that shows the Trump lead in the GOP primary widens. Voters split on whether impeachment of Biden is legit or bogus, but it shows that Donald Trump is even further ahead of the pack than he was this time last month. So we have the rankings where we have DeSantis at 12, Nikki when he was at 13, Nikki Haley at 9 when she was at 10, Vivek falling 2 points to 5% from 7, Chris Christie at 2 from 3. The only person that didn't fall besides Trump is Asa Hutchinson because he's at 1%. You can't fall much lower than that. President Trump with 69%.
Nice.
In the polls. So he has gained a whole 7%, which is about what everyone else is polling at. So he is the far runaway winner. The DeSantis Super PAC backing him is under strict controversy for alluding with the campaign. We'll probably get to that Wednesday because we are just running low on time. But we have it. It's very done. So in a hypothetical general election matchup against President Joe Biden, Haley is ahead by 6 points. Trump's ahead by 4. And I like that Fox News, who is a big Haley Koch brothers group, put in parentheses, neither advantage is statistically significant. Ron DeSantis and Biden tie. So I like, personally, the guy that's winning the primary. He has 69%.
Nice.
In that primary, a whole 69%.
Nice.
He can beat Joe Biden, which is also
nice.
He can beat Joe Biden. He beats him by 4 points. Registered voters poll, which isn't the greatest group. Margin of error is 3 points, so he's between, 64 and 73 in the primary. He is very, very well off in this poll. He's going to win. Would you like to see someone else as the Democrat nominee? In February, it was 53%. In March, it was 52%. In October, it was 53%. Now it's 54%. Biden's just losing ground. Trump is gaining ground. We are on a snowball running down the cliff. You're going to get picked up in it whether you like it or not. It's going to happen. Chris Christie is negative 29 points in favorability. Ramaswamy is negative 22. Trump is negative 10, by the way. Haley's negative 13. Ramaswamy has 32% unknown. Haley's 23% unknown. Trump is viewed positively by 85% of Republicans. DeSantis only by 66. Haley 44, Ramaswamy 37, Christie 27. He is more favored by Republicans than Biden is Democrats. Ramaswamy's favorability is down 22 points. More people think the impeachment thing against Biden is legitimate instead of bogus. 80% of Democrats think it's bogus. There's 20 that think it's not. An equal share of Republicans think it's legitimate. A majority of Republicans think Biden did something illegal related to Hunter business dealings, while over half of Democrats think the president didn't do anything wrong by 59%. Needless to say, Joe Biden is underwater compared to President Trump. President Trump is gaining ground. Never have we seen in an incumbent year a 69% lead in our primary. We've never once seen anyone going into 2016 having a 69% lead in any state, let alone nationwide. In 2012, it didn't happen. In 2008, it didn't happen. In 2004, it was obviously an incumbent. We've never had this happen in modern history. Why are we not treating President Trump as an incumbent, taking these Iowa cocci, all this goofy stuff, getting rid of it, or not paying attention to it, and letting the general election process play out? Every day, every single day that DeSantis remains in this race, that Haley remains in this race, that Vivek remains in this race, we are going to lose to Biden and have that sliver of a chance grow and grow and grow. Focus on the general election today. Forget about these primaries. and let's keep fighting and fight for this country. Jen Psaki, the circle back lady. Let's just play this. How long is this clip here from the Daily Call or the Gateway Pundit? Let's play this clip here about her talking about Hunter Biden.
Look, I think if you're sitting in the White House right now, you're like, please, Hunter Biden, we know your dad loves you. Please stop talking in public. This is not helpful to any of them for him to be out there. But at the same time, the president loves his son. That takes precedent over anything else. That is appealing. I'm thinking of the woman in your focus group who talked about family. He loves his son. He loves his family. He's worried about his mental health. But yes, the White House would like him to probably go away right now.
Well, yeah, he should go away and he should go to a private deposition, which he, by the way, should be found in contempt of Congress for not going to that deposition. Remember, he said in this quote, my father is not directly and financially involved, is what he said.
Let me state as clearly as I can. My father was not financially involved in my business, not as a practicing lawyer, not as a board member of Burisma, not in my partnership with a Chinese private businessman, not in my investments at home nor abroad, and certainly not as an artist.
Certainly not as an artist. Why does this guy, why did he say it that way?
Let me state as clearly as I can. My father was not financially involved in my business.
Just stop the clip there. Genuinely, why, he's not in being sworn in. He's not held to the words he says before the press. Why could he not say, my father was not involved in my business dealings at all. I never sent him a dollar. That wouldn't matter. It honestly doesn't matter whether or not he says, hey, yeah, here, no. Because he wasn't sworn in, it doesn't matter. And he still yet is giving us so much ammunition.
Let me state as clearly as I can. My father was not financially involved in my business.
His voice is so obnoxious, by the way. So he defied lawful subpoenas. It is not a suggestion, as Biden used to say when he was a senator. And now we'll see where that goes. All right, my friends. Ohio Supreme Court dismisses an appeal in the heartbeat abortion case, so it's going to go down to a lower court after issue one, which is a terrible law, was passed into law, is now in effect. Abortion is now legal up until 9 months in Ohio. We love it here, don't we, folks? Even in the holiday season, even in the Christmas season, we are going to not stop fighting for our country. We're going to continue pressing and pushing forward what matters by the RNC, by the GOP, by the Brylin Hollyhands, by the CJ Pearsons, by the Youth Advisory, by all these groups, because the left doesn't take a day off. They're all Satanists. They don't care about Christmas. And while I do, I also realize this country is more important than myself having just a day off. We don't take day offs. We keep fighting. So thank you, folks, for listening tonight. We are going to wrap up the program here. If you are a fan of the program, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/GOPJosh. Go to GOPJosh.com. GOPJosh.com is our website. And we'll be right back with you, hopefully, on Friday. We'll keep you updated on X.com/GOPJosh. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay tuned.
You're listening to the Conservative Crusader.
I got cut off by my own outro. I got my username wrong. It's GOPJosh20. Now, stay safe, stay healthy, and stay tuned.